March 29th, year 2001. This is an interview with Lloyd B. Arnold. The interview takes place at his residence in Murray, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Mr. Arnold, if you would give me your full name, please, so I can get a voice level.
Lloyd Byron Arnold.
Byron.
B-Y-R-O-N.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Arnold, for agreeing to talk with me today.
Yes, ma'am.
What I want to do is I'll ask you some questions about you and your background a little bit, and then we'll move on into to Murray, and we'll just see how the afternoon goes, if that's okay.
Do what now?
And see how the afternoon goes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You have a little hearing problem that I need to speak up?
Yeah. See, I talk a little loud where I can hear.
Okay.
I can hear it, but it's not, you know, too good.
Okay. Would you tell me where and when you were born, please?
Yes, ma'am. I was born in Paducah, Kentucky.
And what year were you born?
1915.
And that makes you how old today?
85 plus, 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
Since September.
Okay. Well, thank you. Tell me a little bit, if you know, about your ancestors.
Well, my father and my mother were born in Tennessee. I don't know what part of Tennessee. But I was born in Kentucky, you know, after they moved from Tennessee. My mother was a Harold, and my father was an Arnold.
Okay. And do you know anything about your grandparents or your great-grandparents?
I know my grandparents on my mother's side. Charlie Harold was her daddy, my mother's daddy, and can't call the wife was name. I don't know her name.
And where did they live?
They lived in what part of Tennessee? I'm from Lexington, Tennessee.
Lexington, Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if your family went as far back as slavery?
Well, yes, my daddy, father's people were enslaved in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they had, of course, they sold some of the Arnolds back in the days. And some of them went and they sold to a Jennings.
Jennings?
Jennings. Mm-hmm. And then of course, some of them still stayed Arnold, you know. But I knew some of them were sold on my granddaddy's side, mm-hmm. were sold to a Jennings.
That's
further back.
J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me, when you were born, Mr. Arnold, tell me, were there other children in your family?
We were 11 of us.
Okay.
8 boys and 3 girls.
Okay, and where did you come in all of that?
Well, see, I was born out in the country. I'm from Paducah, out on the farm, what I mean. And we had, my father had 11 children, 8 boys and 3 girls. And I was, let me see now, I got to figure up, I was my oldest brother. See, I had an oldest sister. And oldest brother. And
that's okay. Were you born at home or were you born in a hospital?
At home. That's what back in those days you're born out in the home, the doctors. And I remember the doctor's name. His name was Dr. George.
Dr. George?
George. That's all I knew about him.
So he was a doctor, not a midwife.
No, he was a doctor.
He was a doctor. Watch this, because that's the microphone there. But How did your family make their living? Were they farmers?
We were farm, raised on a farm, raised tomatoes, corn, such as that, out on a farm.
And did you sell the
food? So all the tomatoes to a candy factory when I was big enough to, you know, realize it. Mm-hmm. And my daddy worked on the railroad, IC Railroad.
IC?
IC Railroad, okay. Paducah. Okay. And
what did he, what?
He was an oiler.
An oiler?
All up, you know, the box cars and coal cars, you know, put waste in the mm-hmm. boxes, you know, where the wheels runs over.
Was that a good job for them?
It was at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, my dad got the pneumonia and died when I was 10 years old.
And then how did your...
Then the rest of the family, I had older brothers. Some of them got jobs on the railroad. Mm-hmm. And they kind of take care of things while the rest of us raise the crop, hogs, mm-hmm. cattle, you know, stuff like that, mm-hmm. and made a living.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever grow any tobacco?
Never did grow any tobacco.
Okay.
And we had one of the backer country for where we were living. Okay. It was mostly corn and tomatoes and things like that.
Okay.
And we had raised sorghum, made sorghum molasses, raised our own hogs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And chickens and things like that.
Did your mother ever work outside the home?
Never did, huh?
Okay. Tell me, Mr. Arnold, about your education.
Now, I went to Union Station, a little old country school out there, and I finished eighth grade, and I started the high school, but I had to walk 5 miles to go to Lincoln High School. That's the school in the city.
In Paducah.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to pass through a little town called Littleville.
Littleville.
Mm-hmm. That's out from there. What they used to have a Union Station there. That's what they named the school after, Union Station. A little old one-room schoolhouse. And so I started there, but I had so much trouble with coming by through the white community, you know, and they would throw rocks at me and things like that, pick at me, so I just quit school mm-hmm. after then. Mm-hmm. And after I quit school after then I seen I had my cousin, had my daddy. You know, cousin, he was supposed to have been armed, but he was a Jennings. They lived in Clinton, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And so they asked me to come out to help him raise on the farm, help him on the farm, because his boys had done got grown and left. So I went out and stayed till I married. Married a girl in Clinton.
And how old were you when you married?
I was 19 years old when I married.
How did you meet your wife?
Well, she worked on the farm. My daddy's cousin Fawn, mm-hmm. and I go to church. Mm-hmm. We went to the little old church there, and that's where I got acquainted with my wife. Mm-hmm. She was an Ellison. Mm-hmm. And he had a bunch of children, mm-hmm. and she was the youngest girl. And I got acquainted with her, and I married her in 1936.
Let me go back to where the white children would say things to you. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, when I was trying to go to Lincoln High, well, I had trouble going through that community. You know, it's a little white community before we get in the city. Mm-hmm. A little community there, and I had to walk to school.
About 5 miles. That's a long way.
Yeah, and they just bothered me so. They pick at me, and I pick at, you know, throw back at them, mm-hmm. and sometimes they run me, you know. Mm-hmm.
They chase you, mean? Is that what you mean, they'd run?
Yeah. And I just got taught it, and I said, I just quit school, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you ever have any regrets about that?
No, in one sense I did, but I had in my mind to determine to do things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do things for my own, you know. And I said to myself, if I ever be grown, My old daddy always said, education is more important than anything else. And so I say, well, when I left and went to Clinton, that's where I learned a lot, you know, working around there. And after I married, I was working on a farm, $4.50 a week to feed me and my wife and one kid. I had one girl. $4.50 a week.
This would have been in the
30s? In 1936 when I married. And this was about 37. And they had a flood in Paducah during that time.
What can you tell me about that? What do you remember about the flood?
Well, my mother, they all had, where we lived, it flooded out there. See, they brought her to Mayfield from the flood. And all the other children just scattered from one place to another, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they stayed after the flood, then she went back to the home place.
With the flood, did you lose everything on the farm,
the crops
and whatnot?
Yeah, we lost practically everything.
Any animals?
Yeah, we had hogs, lost them, I think, and different things like that. But
and how about your house?
The house, it still stood there. But it was just, you know, we had to do a lot of repair. Mm-hmm. They did, I didn't, because I didn't go back, because I was already in Clinton. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they went back and fixed things up, and the house caught a fire and burned down. Then they built, my mother married again, mm-hmm. and they built back, but it wasn't as good a house it was before the flood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did it, when you were growing up, did you have electricity?
You know what electricity was back then.
And what did you do for light when you needed it?
Coal oil. Lamps. Okay. We had coal oil lamps.
Okay. And did you have any indoor plumbing, or was it?
No, one such thing as that.
Bathhouse.
No.
Okay. How did you take a bath?
Well, we always get out, get water, put it on the pot, heat the water, mm-hmm. take a bath from the water. That we have you.
So you were married and you had a child, little girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
The oldest girl.
What was her name?
Geneva.
Geneva. Okay.
She's the one that first went to Morris State, I hear.
Okay. So she was born in
1936.
36.
5th day of December.
Okay. So go ahead. How long did you stay in Clinton?
I stayed in Clinton till 1942.
Okay.
And I used to work after I got off the farm. I went to on WPA.
WPA?
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked on it.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work did you
that do? That was construction work, building roads and things like that.
Okay.
And schools.
And how about your wife?
My wife, she didn't work in it. She took care of the children. And so we made the best way we could. When I got on WPA, I thought I was flying in. I was making a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. You know, about $8 a week or 10. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed on that till my term was out. You had to stay a certain length of time. Your term's out, then you had to reply. Mm-hmm. And I had to get a job building highways. Cox and Fraser contractor. Hired me to help build bridges.
Cox and Fraser?
Cox and Fraser. That was the name of the contractor.
Okay.
And I started working on him. They paid me 45 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. How long was a term?
What you say?
How long was a term for under the WPA?
I don't know exactly that now, but it was just a certain length of time you could work on that, and then you had to reply.
And so did you reapply?
Yes, I did, but after I got the job contractor, I didn't go back on WPA.
I see, okay. So what happened in 1942?
I moved to Murray, 1942. The contractor had some bridges to build. I hit Hardin, Kentucky, between here and Paducah, this place called Hardin. That's when the Kentucky Lake and Gibbsville Dam was all in the building. They called it CNM, TVA, CNM. That was building the roads. And they had a group, a clearing group, that cleared all this bottom wood and stuff up. I didn't work on that. I was on the roads, building roads and bridges.
I came over two of those bridges today. Did you work on those?
Who's that?
I came over two bridges.
Yeah, the bridge between Hardin.
Yeah.
Hardin and the river.
Right.
Yeah, I built that
you
bridge.
You built that bridge. Well,
yeah.
That's a spectacular bridge.
Yeah, and then there's another one over going to Benton.
Right.
On 68.
Right.
We built both of those bridges.
Okay.
That's the first job I had when I came to Murray.
Okay. How do you build a bridge like that when you've got water all underneath you?
Well, see, they poured pallets, what they call concrete pallets. And they drove those pallets in the ground with steel in them, the sorry steel in them. And they drive them down so deep, then the bridges were put on them pallets. Legs, I call them, you know.
I see, right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So you came to Murray to work.
Yeah.
And what was Murray like in 1942?
Girl, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Well,
when I came to Murray, all these little huts, one of them but huts, yeah, little shacks. Mm-hmm. And people were coming here on them jobs. They were staying in these different shacks. Mm-hmm. And I found a little old place down here across the railroad and got two rooms. It cost me $6 a month, you know, to stay in when I moved from Clinton here.
So Murray was a booming place at that point?
Was a what?
Murray was a growing place?
It was in the population-wise, where the workers came in here. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it wasn't no gravel streets out here. Mm-hmm. Wasn't no sewage over here. Mm-hmm. Wasn't no electric lights over there. Mm-hmm. Only thing they did, they run hydrant water over here. It's the only thing they had when I came to Murray.
And how big was the black population then?
Well, the black population was bigger than it is now. Because there's a lot of blacks lived here then. But they was always working in the tobacco field, you know. Most of the people here was tobacco barns, working in tobacco barns, tobacco field.
Was Murray a big tobacco place at that point?
Yeah, they had tobacco barns all around here.
Okay. So they would go in and strip the leaves?
Yeah,
and
all of that, yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't work in that.
Okay. Well, the war came along. What?
And water came along. That's when all my brothers went to the Army except myself. Mm-hmm. I had three brothers in the Army.
And then was Murray at that point, I would guess, was a pretty segregated community?
Yeah, girl, it was segregated rough. Okay. It was rough. Yeah, as long as you stay in your community and things like that, it was, you know what I mean, pretty well. But in other words, you just had to almost kind of almost have to just demand what you have to have. And I just seemed to myself, I said, I just can't live like this, raise my children here, because I done had, just I came to Murray, I said I had three children when I got to Murray, two girls and a boy. Then I raised the rest of my family, see, I had nine children in all. Four boys and five girls.
And did they attend the black school here in Murray?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. They went to the old Douglas school here.
Douglas,
that's the name of the school. And they had a black professor. The first professor when I first came here was Tinsley. He was a preacher.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Tinsley?
Reverend Tinsley. He was a preacher. And so after he left, well, Reverend Miller, I mean, not Reverend Miller, I mean, Professor Miller, he got to be principal of Douglas School. Mm-hmm. And since when he got to be principal, I found out everything they got from the school was secondhand stuff. You know, you didn't get nothing new. Mm-hmm. Everything you got was secondhand from the Murray School.
Mm-hmm. From the white school.
White school, yeah. And so I went to the Grand Lodge at Ashland, Kentucky. That was back 1950, about 52 or 53. And State Board of Instruction, his name was Butler. You can look that up and find out what year that was. They invited him to speak at this convention, mm-hmm. Black Convention, which is Masonic organization. Mm-hmm. And he told them that the school was going to be merged. Mm-hmm. All high school didn't have 100 students, but had to be merged.
Mm-hmm. See. So this would have been about the time that the
Supreme Court handed
came down with the Brown decision?
Yeah. That was during that time. Mm-hmm. That's when they had high schools that wasn't no black now. It's white high school. They had a white high school at Alamo, had one at Lynn Grove, had one at Kirkson, one out here east of town. Mm-hmm. They all merged and made Callaway County High School. But they wouldn't let the blacks go to Alamo. They had black people living in Alamo. That's a little old town just 5 miles from here. And they wouldn't let black kids go there, and they had to come to Douglas.
And did they have a bus to bring them to Douglas?
No.
No.
Parents had to bring them. It's the only way you got here.
How far is that?
5 miles. And so all that was going on back in the days is pitiful.
At what point did they actually integrate the schools?
Well, see, I integrated Murray State and Murray High.
Okay, tell me about Murray High first.
Well, Murray High, when I took my daughter, my second daughter, out of Douglas, she was in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. I took her out of there the same year I took my other daughter and sent her to Murray State. Mm-hmm. And she went to Murray High, and I criticized for that. I'm telling you, I got criticized pretty rough. Even some of my own black community was against it. Mm-hmm. But I stood my ground.
And that would have been about?
1956 and 57.
Okay. How was that experience for your daughter?
Well, she didn't mind going. She didn't mind going. But the thing about it was the way they wanted to treat you, you know. So she had to go 2 years to get credit for one when she went to Murray High. And now she went to Murray High, she was taking up shorthand, typing. And this Douglas didn't have nothing like it, see. And so some of the students from Douglas come and see, I bought a typewriter for my kid in order to have it for her to, you know, to learn with. And they come over here and find out about the classes, and they went back and raised and came to, they felt familiar about players. So the Murray High sent some old typewriters over for them to use, some that they had.
Tell me the name of your daughter who integrated the high school.
Kate Marie. Arnold.
Katie
Marie.
Spelled Katie.
K-A-T-T-I-E.
K-A-T-T-I-E, and then M-A-R-I-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a Wilson now, but she was an Arnold back then.
She wanted to do this?
Yeah, she wanted to do it.
And you wanted her to?
No, I wanted to because I wanted to get better education I had. That was my biggest, you know, ambitious about life. I said, if you don't get an education, my daddy taught me that. If I don't learn how to get an education, I ain't gonna get nowhere. Okay. And so that's the one reason I said, well, I want to have a better education than I had. And when I came back from Frankfort, not from Frankfort, but from Ashland, Kentucky, and listened at the Board of Instruction, Butler, I made myself a determined to do these things.
Tell me about that meeting, about how many people were there.
Well, see, Masonic Lodge have a meeting, convention every year. It meets in different towns. Back in that time, you had to meet in different towns, like Ashland, Lexington, Coverton, Georgetown, Kentucky, Elizabethtown, Kentucky, Louisville. See, they met different places. And we had to stay in people's homes. Didn't stay in no hotel like we do now. Mm-hmm. We had to stay in people's homes.
Well, the hotels probably wouldn't allow us.
That's right.
Okay. And at the meeting, were there others like yourself?
Yes, it was.
Like they were going to go back and face?
Especially the leaders of the organization. Mm-hmm. There's one that had him come to speak mm-hmm. on this.
And tell me his name again.
Butler.
He was with?
With the State Board of Instruction. That's what he was.
Okay. Now, you said at the, let me go back to Katie Marie here. So she graduated from Murray
yeah.
High School? Mm-hmm. And then what happened for her?
After she graduated, well, she left and went to Milwaukee, where my oldest daughter lived.
Mm-hmm.
See? Okay. Yeah. My oldest daughter went to Murray State for 3 years, but she didn't finish.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about her first, yeah. but I want to have a few more questions about Katie Marie.
Yeah, and so she left and went to New York, and then Geneva.
Geneva.
Yeah, Geneva, that's the oldest.
Right.
She went to New York and stayed up there with her cousin a while. Then she married a fella from Mayfield, and they moved. He was a school teacher, and he moved to Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and he taught school there. Then he changed jobs and got into post office business, and that's where my other daughter went, Katie Marie.
Okay, let me turn the tape over here. Okay. I wonder for Katie Marie now, when she was at the all-white high school, was she the only black student?
Only black.
And how big was the school? How many in her graduating class?
Well, it was a good many. It was around, and they had the graduation at the First Baptist Church here, all-white church. Mm-hmm. And she was the only one black in the group. And we went to the, what you call the baccalaureate sermon, is that what that is? The mm-hmm. preacher, baccalaureate sermon, mm-hmm. and she graduated, and I think it was around 30 or 40 students
okay.
graduated that year.
Were there any black teachers?
She was the only black in the group.
And were there any black teachers?
No, one such thing as black teachers in.
How did she get along with the other students?
Well, she must, and some of them get along good with them, some she didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, I can name some of them that went to school with her that's grown now. Mm-hmm. And they always asked about her. Mm-hmm. One of them made a lawyer, Don, can't call his name, Don.
That's okay. How about the teachers there? How did they react to her being a student there?
Well, they done fairly well, but I had to go out there two or three times.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about that?
Sometimes they say she wasn't finished, she was behind and everything. I went out there, and I got where I would go to the parent-teachers meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I kept up with it. Then they seen that I meant business. Mm-hmm. Then they got kind of, leeway, you know, to let me try to treat me more respectable. And of course, the superintendent, Carter, he didn't want to raise so much cane. He didn't want her to go.
He didn't want her to go.
No. He wanted to stay at Douglas. And so it was a long time before Douglas ever integrated. Douglas was the last school to ever integrated. All other schools done integrated except Douglas.
Did your daughter join any clubs or try out for cheerleaders?
No,
or
she didn't do nothing.
Run for office?
No.
She had all she could do just to
get her education.
Okay. Tell me about Geneva now.
Now Geneva, that's my oldest daughter. She went to Murray State. And see, when I filed the application for her to go to Murray State, President Woods wasn't accepted.
He's
the president. He was the president of Morris. It wasn't no college yet. It was college yet, and it wasn't no university. 1955. Yeah. See, it was a college.
What happened?
He wasn't paying no attention to the when I first said, about her going. You know, I put in the application to register for the go. And so it got around to some attorney. His name was James Obie.
Can you spell his last name for me?
Obie. O-B-E. I can't spell it right. O-B-E-R is Obie. It's a bunch of Obies here now. Huh?
Okay.
His name is James Obie.
Okay.
And I got called one afternoon and asked me to come up there. He wanted to talk to me, I don't know why, and told me to bring my daughter with me.
He was a white attorney?
Yeah. And so that Saturday morning, me and her went up there. He said, I see where you filed for Murray State, going to Murray College. And he said, do you really want to go? She said, yes, I want to go, come and get an education. Well, he said, well, I'm going to put the application in for you. He wouldn't see the one sent, the one I sent. But when he sent one in, they accepted it. And so when they accepted it, Dr. Ralph Woods called me and wanted me to come out and take an interview.
Wanted you to come? Okay.
So I goes out there to take an interview. He asked me the reason why. I said, yeah. He said, the law says she can go to college. That's what he said. But he advised me enough for her not to take up no swimming.
Swimming? Why was that?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. I said, well, she's not interested in swimming. She's interested in education. I said, and that's left up to her whether she want to take swimming or not. That's what I told her. So Professor Nash, that's the man come picks her up and carries her school to register.
Now, was he a black professor?
He was white. No, ain't no black out there at all.
So he was a professor at Murray?
Murray State, Reverend Nash. So he come picks her up and carries her, have her registered. Registered before the other kids were, I guess. Anyway, so after that happened, she went to go to school, so I bought a brand new Plymouth car. And my youngest daughter, Marie, she could drive it. My oldest daughter hadn't learned to drive, but my youngest daughter could drive. So I just let her drive her out to the college. Then she'd come on to high school, and park a car there to pick her up every evening. So that happened doing a good while, and all at one evening she come in, Daddy, somebody hit my car before it parked on the high school lot, and found out a lady lived across the street, backed into it, but she wasn't paying to tell nothing about it. But it happened to be somebody paid attention to it and called attention. I had insurance on it. But it was the type of insurance I had to pay twice as much, maybe. You know, ordinary people would pay. And so I said, well, I said, the insurance come to take care of it. And this, and someone said, no, say you're supposed to turn it in. So I went and talked to the police about it. And so we got around, this lady sent me $700. Didn't identify herself for nothing. Pay for the damage to the door where she hit. And so after that happened, well, she went on, she fit at school.
Mm-hmm. What did Geneva study at Murray?
She took up education, this educational.
Did she want to be a teacher?
Yeah, that's what she was intending to be.
Okay.
But she didn't go but 3 years, and of course now they got the whole records out there at Murray State now. Mm-hmm. They got the records from where she started, who the first black, person that graduated out there, mm-hmm. and got the first black professors come out there, mm-hmm. and got the first black ball players. This lady's name, it's on that thing up there.
Okay. Do you happen to know when they hired the first black faculty at Murray?
Yes, I remember that well. I was involved in that.
Okay, what can you tell me?
James Pete Rutledge.
Rutledge?
Rutledge, he lived.
Rutledge?
Yeah.
Okay.
James Pete Rutledge, me and him, and Professor Brown out of Paducah, and another fellow, I can't call his name, and two people out of Mayfield, one preacher and another deacon from Mayfield. Then the Pearsons out of Fulton, there was eight of us, mm-hmm. went and met with Dr. Kerr.
Dr. Kerr?
That was the professor of the year that they hired. The first black professors.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you and the men know each other that went to see him?
Well, I've been knowing them all along. See Rudy was born and raised here.
Okay, did you know them through the Masons?
He did. No.
And did you know them through the Masons?
What'd you say?
Were you all Masons together?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, Professor Brown wasn't at Paducah, but he was a school teacher mm-hmm. out of Paducah.
What year was this that you went to see about getting?
No, I can't give you the exact date that.
Was it in the 50s, the 60s?
It was in the
70s.
It was close to 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did they say when you met with them?
He said he won't look into it. Dr. Kerr said he would look into it. Mm-hmm. That it was time for something like that to happen. And that same year, he hired two I know of, Professor Mills and Professor Black. They were black. Mm-hmm. That was two first ones that I knew of that come to Murray State.
Now, I understand there's a Professor Stephen Jones who teaches anthropology who came to Murray in 1977. But the men that you just told me about would have come before
then. Okay. Professor Mills.
Okay.
And Professor Black.
Do you remember what they taught?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, but they got it a record out there about it.
Okay. Tell me how the experience was for Geneva being there as a black student.
Well, the experience was a little better than it was at high school, I have to say that.
In what way?
They didn't treat her as cool. I call it cool. Mm-hmm. They did Marie, mm-hmm. Katie Marie. Because mm-hmm. it was really precious in the high school department than it was in the college department.
And in the 50s here, how big was the black population?
Well, I can't say how big it was, but it put a large crowd of blacks live here then.
And you said earlier that there were some people in the black community who disagreed with what you were doing.
Yeah, it was few in the community that objected to me sending my daughter. Because they were scared to send her. I tried to get some of them to go with her. They graduated from Douglas. See, my older daughter graduated from Douglas.
And what were they scared of?
Well, they didn't want to break the ice, I guess. I don't know.
Now, at some point, I believe you were on the city council here.
I served six terms on the city council.
Six terms? Wow.
Yeah, I was the first black ever ran for the city council.
And when was that?
That was in 19 and... I have to look on in there and tell you. But the first time I ran, I didn't get elected. I didn't get but 26 votes. Mm-hmm. But the second time I was elected, I ran. Well, a white leader ran too. First time a white leader ever ran for city council. Mm-hmm. And me and her tied. Miss, I'll call her name, Miss Hale. Her name was Hale. We tied the same amount of votes. And so Sid Easy was the county attorney at that time. Mm-hmm. And we went up and had to draw numbers, see who was elected. And fortunately, I was elected. Mm-hmm. I draw the smallest number.
Now, how long is a term?
2 years.
2 years.
And
so
I served 6 years.
12 years.
6 years.
6 years.
2 year terms.
Okay. For a total of 6 years.
Yeah.
And would this have been in the 60s, the 70s?
This plaque, we're going to have to go and look at the plaque up there. They got a plaque.
Okay. So, Mr. Arnold, I looked at all your certificates on the wall there, and you were elected to the city council in
1982.
Okay. Tell me, what was employment like for blacks who worked for the city at that point in time?
Well, those that worked for the city, and mighty few worked the city at that time.
And what kinds of jobs did they hold?
Only one to hold job for the city was on the fire department.
The fire department?
Yeah. Okay. They had some blacks on the fire department.
Anybody in the police department?
No.
Okay. Any clerical workers?
No.
How about garbage collection?
Well, they had a few on garbage collectors.
Okay. Is it any better today?
Well, it's a little better.
Tell me.
Because we have black polices on police force now. Uh-huh.
I saw a police car parked up around the corner.
They got a police station up there.
Oh, they do?
There's
okay.
a little substation, they call it.
Okay.
On kind of dope rings.
Okay. So have people left Murray from the black community?
They had to leave to get jobs. Okay. See, all my kids left Murray.
And where all did people tend to go?
Well, they go to different places, like Milwaukee, Toledo, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana. See, I have a boy in Annapolis, Indiana. I have a daughter in Ohio, and my other children in Milwaukee. All my kids had to leave there to get jobs, I'm being frank. I mean decent jobs.
Mr. Arnold, when you were on the city council here, what were the issues that you were most interested in?
I was interested in getting some streets over here. See, I was living around over, and I wanted the sewage over here. There was no sewage. Mm-hmm. It was so many different things.
And were you able to accomplish that?
Yeah, we accomplished every bit of it. We accomplished. We got streets, got curbs and gutters and part of it. Mm-hmm. Something they ain't had over here. Asphalt streets, it wasn't nothing but gravel. Mm-hmm. There were just so many things that I seen that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get done everything. Mm-hmm. And
Well, those sound like important issues.
It was some important issues.
How are race relations in Murray today?
Well, race relations is better today than it used to be. Mm-hmm. A whole lot better.
How, in what ways do you see a difference?
What I mean, you can go anywhere and get things done. Mm-hmm. You know.
I mean, like the stores and the restaurants and, mm-hmm. and the schools.
Yeah.
How are they?
Yeah. And the first police woman. I won't tell you about that. A lady, white lady from Murray State, filed for police in the city of Murray, and I was on the board. And so I was the only one voted for. The rest of them voted against her. Mm-hmm. Well, she in turn got the Human Rights Commission, Galen Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He come down and brought a charge against the city of Murray. Mm-hmm. And they held the trial up at the city hall. Well, I attended that city trial. Mm-hmm. And they won. And during that time, the girl had already went to Madisonville and got a job as a police. Mm-hmm. And so I think she got $8,000 out of that, but she wouldn't come back to be no police here because she stayed over at Madisonville. And that was the first female policeman.
And are there women who work on the police force today?
Not no black.
Well, are there women of any color who work in the police department?
Yes.
Okay. But no black women?
No black.
Black men?
They got black men.
So tell me again, you told me how many children you have. How many grandchildren do you have?
Well, I have seven or eight.
Seven or eight, okay.
Somewhere along there.
Okay. You have any great-grandchildren?
Well, let
me
see.
You're not old enough
for that. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Yeah.